Station KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1.
I tried everything that good in my life that this world would offer me, looking for some peace in my soul.
Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla,
at 88.1.
Baptist Church radio broadcast, where Reverend Roger L. Green Sr. is the pastor. This broadcast is designed to be a blessing and life changer for you and your family. Listen now as Reverend Green takes you through the Word of God.
And worship are often used together. Although they complement one another, they are two different things. Praise is an expression of approval and admiration. When we praise God or when we praise people, we are lifting them up for what they have done for us. In reference to God, when we praise God, we acknowledge our appreciation for what he's done for us. As I say, we are thankful that he woke us up this morning. We are thankful that we made it to the house of prayer. We are thankful for the food that he has provided on our tables. We are thankful for the clothes that he has placed on our backs. We are thankful for how he healed our body. We are thankful how he brought many of us through COVID-19. We are thankful that when many have turned and walked away from us and left us all by ourselves, he stood right there with us. And I wonder, is there anybody thankful this morning? And the only way you can really be thankful, you've got to start thinking. Because when you start thinking, you started thinking, you start thinking. When I think how he's been for me and how he's been there for me, I can't help but thank him, even if I got to do it all by myself. My thankfulness is not based on if you clap or not. My thankfulness is not based on if you shout or not. My thankfulness is personal because it was God and God alone who brought me what I've been through. And I wonder that anybody want to give thanks to him right now, because he is worthy of our praise. Come on now, I wonder, can you just thank him for how he's blessed you and how he's kept you? We should praise him, but although they are intertwined, praise and worship, they are totally different. Because when we look at worship, worship is an expression of admiration and reverence. And watch this, it is reserved only for God. When we worship God, we submit to him completely. When we worship to God, we are in a position and we can align ourselves with God's will. Let me simplify it for you. When we praise God, it is for what he's done for us. But when we worship God, it's just for who he is. So what I'm trying to tell you this morning, you have no excuse to not to say anything in church. If you feel I don't want to praise him because I feel he hasn't done nothing for me, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. But you still have to worship him for who he is. So somewhere, somewhere along the line, doing service, you ought to give God a praise or a worship. I worship him for who he is. Who is he, preacher? He's Elohim. He's the mighty and strong. He's El Shaddai, God Almighty. He's Jireh, the Lord will provide. He's Rapha, the Lord who heals. He's Nisi, the Lord my banner. Shalom, the Lord of peace. Elohim, God, Lord. Raha, the Lord of shepherds. Shema, the Lord is there. Elohim, most high, and Elohim, everlasting God. Can I simplify you? He's my bread when I'm hungry. He's my clothes on my back. He's my way out of no way. And so if I need to make a reason to praise him, it's just for who he is. He deserves our worship. And so before I get into the text, when you look at the word worship, it comes from an Anglo-Saxon term. Simply means worship. In other words, my worship is depending on how much God is worth to me. And so when I look at God's worth to me, that's why I make all the noise that I do, because he's worth that much to me. That's why I wave my hand if nobody else is waving, because he's worth that much to me. And if me standing up is blocking your view, that's your problem, because he's worth that much to me. If every now and then you hear me yelling the highest praise, hallelujah, and it's ringing your ears, that's your problem, because he's worth that much to me. I didn't come here to fold my arms. I didn't come here to sit like a bump on the log. He's worth too much to me. I come here to let the world know how much he's worth to me. I want to let the world know that he is my God. He's worth that much. So the text that is before us, the Jews was observing the feast of unleavened bread and the feast of the Passover. They were celebrating the feast, and here they are. While they were celebrating, the chief priests and the scribes were trying to find a way to trap Jesus. Y'all missing? They are celebrating something God had done for the people in the past. And while they were celebrating and praising, they were plotting. What I'm trying to tell you, don't be naive to believe to think everybody came to Mount Zion for the same reason. Don't ever think that everybody flocks to the church for the same reason. Some people come just to see who showed up. Some people come just to find something to talk about. But then there's that small group of us. Got out of our bed this morning, put on our Sunday's best, drove to the church this morning, not caring who's there and who's not there, not caring who's looking at me, who's not looking at me. I came here with one agenda, is to give God praise and to give him worship. They're sitting there trying to plot on Jesus, doing service. Watch this. And now they said, Brother Wesley said, well, we need to get him. But we're seeing everybody enjoying the celebration feast. And I think it'll be out of order if we try to mess with him right now. Because the people will rise up against us. But our time is coming. But while this was going on, verse 3 says, they were in Bethany, and they were in Simon the leper's house. Let me say it again. They are in Bethany, and they are in Simon the leper's house. Now, John records that there was another person there. Lazarus was there. There were two people in the house had a reason to worship more than anybody else. Simon the leper if they are in his house means that Simon has been healed and brought back into society. But they called him the leper because what he used to be. But he didn't care if you call me what I used to be. I know who I am today. You can call me the leper, but I've been healed. You can call me the drug addict, but I've been delivered. You can call me the alcoholic, but God has brought me. He said, you can call me whatever you wanna, but I'm still in the presence of Jesus. He's in Simon the leper's house. John records in chapter 12 that Lazarus is also there. Now, I can imagine the conversation between Lazarus and Simon the leper. Simon the leper said that I was once a leper and I could not be in society. People coming to 100 paces of me, I had to scream out, unclean, I'm unworthy. But somehow Jesus came along and look at me now. And Lazarus said, man, you think that's up? I was dead for 3 days. They had already gave up on me. They had already written their obituary. The people was already crying. But I was sitting at the welcome table talking to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But I had to tell them, hush, somebody is calling my name. And it sounds like Jesus. They were sitting there. They were discussing what God had done for them. And see, that's how we have to be when we come together. We got to start discussing how good God has been. We're not here today to talk about what's going on your job. We're not here today to talk about your personal vendettas against somebody. We should be coming together talking about what good things God has done for us all week long. And here they are. They're talking. Then all of a sudden, this woman walks in. While they were discussing, while the other one was plotting, she walks in. She's uninvited. She has no invitation in her hand. But she walks in anyway. Brother Sam, one thing I like about the text, everybody else came to the party empty-handed. She came with something in her hand. In other words, before she got into Jesus' presence, she made preparations at home. Oh, y'all ain't get what I'm saying. See, what's wrong with some of us, and the reason why we really don't worship, because we wait to come here to do it. You should have made preparations when you woke up this morning. You should have made preparations when you were eating breakfast this morning. You should have made preparations when you were putting on your clothes this morning. And you should be so intertwined in worship that when you walk through the door, people think you have lost your mind because you came here, you made preparations to come for that purpose. So she comes in, uninvited. She walks in. And so the evidence of real worship, number one, write this down, real worship is progressive. Watch it. Watch how she progresses herself through the text. She comes in, eyes are on this sister. She's from across the tracks. She resides in the red light district. She don't need to be here. She is not worthy to be here. Who does she think she is to walk into this place? Because the who's who is here. Leaders of the church are here. Jesus is here. His disciples is here. Two men that have been delivered from death and sickness is here. And here she comes. You can't look at these people too bad because we act the same way. Soon as a sister walk in, not all dressed up like you, don't have her head covered like you, her dress is a little shorter than yours, her shape is a little better than yours, and you might have seen your brother, I looked at her, and And instead of you getting mad at him, you get mad at her. Don't get mad at her because God blessed her. Oh, y'all don't get what I'm saying. Y'all gonna hear me in a minute. We can't get mad at people because how they come in. Let them come just as they are. If they sit under the word long enough, God will change their heart. God will change their mind, and God will change their dress code. I wish I had somebody to testify. But we give them a dark eye like we've been saved all our life. You too old to drop it like it's hot now, and so you're getting mad at that sister. You too old to do what you used to do, so you're getting mad at that brother. But you got to remember, you ain't always walked with Christ. So the reason why the true worship was progressive, because she noticed they were watching her, but she didn't let that stop her. She knew that they were whispering, but she didn't let that stop her. She knew that they were turning their nose up at her, but she didn't let that stop her. It was progressive because she was progressing over their thoughts. She was progressing over their whispers. And brothers and sisters, can I tell you something? Stop going to church just because somebody didn't speak to you this Sunday. It is passed all by me, ain't saying, well, if you came here for real worship, it makes no difference who shook your hand or not. Because your hand's supposed to have been raised in the sanctuary only for God to grab. I wish I had somebody to testify. She moves in, Reverend Yvonne, and she walks to the table where they were eating. Now, John's account of this text in chapter 12, you would discover, chapter 12, verse 3, that she anoints his feet as well as his head in Mark's gospel. But watch this. Let me draw you a diagram how this thing was. They didn't sit in chairs. They sat on the floor, and the table was here, and their feet stuck out like this. So for her to anoint his head and his feet, that means that she had to come down on her knees. True admiration for God is not when you're high up. You got to get off your high horse. She comes in and she progresses. So not only was it progressive, but then it became personal. So watch this. Watch the evidence of real worship. It's progressive, but then secondly, it's personal. Look at verse 3. And being in Bethany, the house of Simon the leper, they said to me, there came a woman having an alabaster box of spikenard, very precious. You see, real worship is not cheap. It's expensive. Y'all ain't gonna like this part. Real worship costs you something. Boy, you're gonna be able to hear a pin drop when I say the next statement. Paying your tithes is real worship. It's going to cost you something. Because what she brought to Jesus, it was so personal to her. It was an alabaster box with spikenard in it. And my brothers and sisters, spikenard was produced. It was a rare plant that grew in India. And it was hard to acquire. It was very, 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 very expensive. She walked in. She broke the box and poured the anointing in Mark's account on his head. But in John 12 and 3, she also anointed his feet. It was very, very expensive. It was precious to her. But her worship became so personal that she didn't think about the value of the anointing, but who she was anointing. Oh, y'all ain't get what I'm saying. Quit holding back on God and give God your best. Quit holding back on God and give God. Y'all, you heard I'm saying for the third. Quit holding back on God and give God your best. Because when you look at the customs of that day, and breaking of a box, it was an ancient Jewish custom. And it had two views, and the first view was to do with breaking of glasses. When a distinguished person ate or drunk out of a glass, that glass was often broken that no one else could drink behind them because they were unworthy. The second view is the custom of ritual burials, that when the deceased was dead and the body was anointed, the box by which hold the ointment and the anointing goes into the grave with the person. Y'all didn't get what I'm saying. Look what Mary is doing. If the first custom is breaking something for a distinguished person, no one else is worthy to come behind, she's doing that for Christ. The second custom is to anoint somebody who's dead already or about to die. Jesus was saying, in essence, that what Mary is doing, she is breaking an alabaster box to signify that I'm the King of Kings, I'm the Lord of Lords, and nobody is worthy to come after me. She's also breaking the box to signify that I'm getting ready to die for all mankind, that my blood is going to be shed to cover the remissions of sin. So her worship became personal because it was something that was valuable to her. And the Bible says that when she broke it, when she anointed his head in verse 3, John 12:3 said she anointed his feet. Then John 12 said also that she wiped it with her hair. She didn't use something that she can buy from the store to wipe it with. She didn't borrow one of the cloths that the other guys had at the table to wipe it with. She said, for me to experience real worship, y'all ready? I got to let my hair down. I got to let my hair down. And watch this. She anoints his feet and wipes it with her hair, shows her humility. So not only is it progressive and personal, but then thirdly, it's powerful. It's powerful because when Mary does this, you got to understand what she's doing. It was immoral in these times for a woman to let her hair down. For her to let her hair down is to say that she is an immoral woman. But Mary didn't care what they thought about her. She didn't care what they thought of her. In other words, she's saying, I didn't come here for you anyway. I didn't come for your approval. I didn't come for your satisfaction. I came to give Jesus my best. And I wonder if anybody can testify and say, wait a minute, I used to sit on the pew and didn't worship because I thought what they were going to think about me and how they, but I made up in my mind I didn't come here this morning for your approval. I did not come here this morning to hear what you have to say or think what you're saying. I came here for one agenda and one agenda only. I'm going to let my hair down. I wish I somebody, I wish, I see if I had hair, I'd still let it down. I wanted to, that anybody to come here just want to let your hair down. I'm not talking about